bring in the right brain power by using visuals. Because our brain, it 90% of what it processes is visual. And images are processed 60 times faster than text.
Yeah.
So this is the crucial and unique element of my work is I help people visualize it. So this is through visualization exercises.
Yeah.
That's quite a word. And also my favorite tool is vision boarding. And when I say vision board, I get one of two responses. One is like, wow, that's really cool. I'm excited. I get to be creative. And then the other one is, are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. That's the cheesiest thing I've ever heard.
Mm-hmm.
Both are welcome. But when I explain the neuroscience behind why they're so effective, I have converts all over the world.
Well, I'm really excited about this next subject. You were talking about vision boards, and then you mentioned how the brain works with that. So talk about that.
Yeah, and just to define, I don't think I defined what a vision board is.
Okay.
A vision board is a collage, in essence, and it's a representation of your goals, the future you want to create, and you know, some may say your dreams. But I also do different kinds of vision boards. So sometimes if someone doesn't know what they want, you know, and I think that's actually an epidemic of many people. They may think they know what they want, but it's really not true to their deeper, authentic self. So if they don't know that, I might have them do a vision board without much direction and just have that right brain tap into that subconscious for them. Other times, I'll have people write down what it is they want and then find pictures that match.
Yeah, that makes so much sense.
Right. So the vision board is a collage representation of your future. And what makes it so effective is that it's based in three main concepts of neuroscience. The first is what we've talked about, you know, neuroplasticity, right? It's using the ability to rewire your brain. What you're doing is by visualizing a new future, you're creating strong patterns in your brain that are teaching you a new future.
Right.
And you're slowly breaking down those existing negative patterns that tell you, no, you can't have that.
Yeah.
The other one is called neural resonance. That's the capacity of our brain to focus on what we tell it to.
Mm-hmm.
Because our brain processes, I think it's billions of bits of information per second.
You know, but I really like that. I've never heard neural resonance, but it's one of my principles in my book. I just call it locking on to what you deem is important. But I think that's called neural resonance. The story that I'd like to tell is when I was a little boy, my dad taught me how to ride a bicycle. And he took me out to this field, took the training wheels off, and he said, before he gave you a little shove, he said, now don't worry, Steve, I'm going to run next to you. But you see that rock in the road out there and right in front of you about 50 feet? Yes, Daddy. Don't run into that rock. And I got down to the bike, eyes locked on the rock, so I would not run into it. Of course, what happened? Bam, right into the rock. Is that neuroresonance?
Yes, very much so. And if you think about it, it's also where I think the concept of self-fulfilling prophecy comes into play.
Pygmalion effect, yes. Robert Rosenthal, yes.
But, you know, our brain is taking in so much information, it can't possibly focus, you know, on everything.
Mm-hmm.
So it focuses only on what we say is important.
Yes, that's right. There's too much.
You know,
we're getting too many messages that we just cannot process.
Yes. So when we're buying a car, for example, we'll notice that car that we're looking for all of a sudden shows up more often in our
environment. Isn't that interesting? Yes. I tell my students when I was in colleges, I would say, on your way home, look for a blue convertible. And they would get back to me the next week. I saw three blue convertibles, Mr. Campbell, because that's what my brain was looking for.
Exactly. What you're doing with the vision board is, in essence, that.
Yeah.
You're telling your brain what to focus on.
Mm-hmm.
And through imagery, which is how our brain processes information the most effectively.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is you go into your environment and you start to see opportunities and things that are available to you that, in fact, have always been there.
But you never saw them before.
Yeah, you're now more aware of them. And then from there, the next step is taking action.
Yeah.
Right, and that's the third part of the process, of course, but you have to take action in the direction of those opportunities to get the results.
It's interesting. Our youngest daughter wanted to go to college at the University of San Francisco, which we were really excited about because USF is only 45 minutes away. The problem is USF is really expensive. And if you're a teacher, you don't teach for the money. So we were on a Sunday night, we sort of committed it to each other, to the Lord. We wrote some affirmations. We're gonna lock on to this. We're going to find a way to do this without having to spend the rest of our life paying off student loans. The next morning, I went to work, taking the same route I had taken for 7 years, north on 101, et cetera, et cetera, so forth. This time, when I was driving north, I saw a sign on the freeway under the 12 interchange, University of San Francisco. I had never seen that sign before in the 7 years I have driven that route. This time I did. Why? Because the brain was locking on and finding ways to do this. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. That's exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. And then the next part of what our brain does is really cool, and it's based off of mirror neurons, which is how we learn from a very early age. You know, you mentioned your grandson, might not seem to have an awareness of what's going on, but you stick your tongue out at a baby, eventually they're going to stick their tongue back out
That's
at you
right.
because they're
That's
mirroring
right. yeah.
their environment.
Yeah.
And when you have a vision board, you're telling your brain to mirror that future as a new learned skill. You're literally learning a new future.
Wow.
It's really cool, and I have clients claim pretty miraculous things, and it's just so crucial. And I anyone could really do a vision board, you know, and I know Oprah, for example, she's a huge fan of them, which I'm excited for. And Oprah, if you're listening, you need to have me on your show because I can really talk about why every single person needs a vision board. But the other part of that is that no one's there to guide them. So that's where people get stuck. They make a vision board, they don't know what to do with it, and they might not get the result that they were hoping for.
Yeah.
So where I come in as an art therapist is I know how they can get the most out of the vision board in how they create it and in how they interact with it afterwards. And also how we bring it back into the left brain a little bit and we analyze what the imagery is telling us. There's a lot of patterns and themes that show up when we're tapping into that subconscious thought. And in essence, our right brain is saying, hey, this is what is important to you. This is the future that you want.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. I was doing a seminar for a group of real estate people, and one of the agents walked to me afterwards, and she said, because we were talking about visualization and why that's so important, she said, you know what I did, Steve? I made a model of the house that I want to have for my family, right down to the bushes, and we found it, right down to the bushes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing. Yeah. When those things happen, I'm just in marvel of the brain.
Yeah.
You know, there's so much we don't know about what we're capable of creating.
It really is. We really do underscore ourselves. So what common mistakes do people make when they're using right brain therapy?
Or right brain thinking. I do want to make a distinction
thinking.
That
yeah,
a lot of people are like, wait, you're a therapist. Is this therapy?
Yeah.
No.
You have to be careful with
therapy
that.
Therapy still has its use, especially for those that are really struggling.
Mm-hmm.
But what I do is based in psychology, but I just want people to be clear that because of the preconceived notions around therapy.
Yeah.
But I would say that the common mistakes is, number one is people try to use right brain thinking for like surface stuff. I just want to be creative, which it's helpful, but the first mistake would be that people are not going deep enough. They're trying to still stay in their comfort zone. And I would say another mistake is they use their left brain to think with their right, meaning they'll overanalyze or try to get it right or try to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And the right brain is so beautiful in that it's very organic.
Yeah.
The process. It's very free-flowing. So you don't want to overthink it, that it gets in the way of its potential. And I would say that those are some of the common mistakes that people make.
So if this was involved with our educational system, what kind of difference do you think it would make, Stephanie?
I'm really passionate about this. I had the amazing benefit of going to a school that had an awesome arts education program, and this is actually quite rare, at least in the United States. I know that other countries really value having arts because we know that it improves achievement and success rates in school when you are using this holistic approach to education. And the important thing is I really think that we would have a peaceful and sustainable earth within a couple of generations if we had right brain thinking in every school. And I'll tell you why. I believe much, like many of our many of our problems in this world are based in a deep sense of inner loss, pain, and sadness.
Mm-hmm.
And that we have these blinders on and this limiting thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And many of us grow up thinking we have a limit to our potential. And so we see things that break our heart and we don't do anything about it.
Yeah.
Or we don't handle the things that have caused us pain. And we make them, they become these limiting beliefs, not only about ourselves, but about others, which then manifests itself in things like racism and war and sexism. And if we could allow children to explore this whole other part of themselves and tap into their innate genius, to have an outlet and to not bore our children in school, that's also happening, right? It's,
mm-hmm.
it's numbers and language and mm-hmm. tests and standardized everything.
Mm-hmm.
That if we could bring in that emotive, intuitive, expressive, big pictured right brain, we would have happy children that want to change the world and know that they can.
Wow. Wow.
And